And I'm going to ask this question. What would happen if Jesus would return today? What would happen if Jesus would return today? What would happen in the world? What would happen in the church? What would happen in things the way that we know them? So we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It's a passage that is often taught or preached at a funeral. And it gives us hope. But today it gives us some insight on what would happen if Jesus would return today. There's a lot of interest in the second coming of Christ. There's a lot of interest in the rapture. That is a question that my kids in school ask a lot of. And they want, I think the issue is, though, they want to be ready, but they want to wait to the last moment. You can't procrastinate in Christian service. You can't procrastinate with salvation. So this morning, if Jesus would come today, what would happen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to open your word and to study it. Father, I just pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Father, I just ask that everything, Lord, has said and done would honor you. Help us, Lord, to be changed by you today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be always expecting of your coming. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." There's a lot of people who don't know this, back then and now, about what this is all about. But who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. "Brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." People who are saved have hope. Situations around you, you may be in a storm of life, but you still have hope. And that gives you help, that gives you opportunity, that gives you peace, and it gives you eternity. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that's the gospel, folks. That's the gospel. "Even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore what? Comfort one another with these words." Here is a fact. Here is a plan. You are not going to change it. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. The one who died and rose again will return. Jesus promised that he would come back again. In John chapter 14, verse 3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come," what? "Again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Where is Christ today? Heaven. Where are we going to go to? Heaven. If you know him. If you know the gospel. If you've accepted the gospel. So Jesus is coming again. He promised his return. The angel proclaimed his promise. In Acts chapter 1 verse 11. After Christ gave the great commission, the disciples are watching as Jesus ascends. And they're looking up as Jesus goes into heaven. And in verse 11 of Acts chapter 1, it says, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." All of heaven knows that he's coming back. Anybody who is a disciple of Christ should know that he's coming back. But why don't we live that way? The world doesn't know. Because in Peter it says, in 1 Peter it says, "Where where is the promise of his coming? All things are the same. He's coming back. You're not going to change that. That is God's plan, and he's coming back. See, but the problem is, millions accept this fact intellectually. There's a lot of people who know a lot of things about the Bible, but what's it doing in your life? What's it doing in your life? But unfortunately, relatively few allow this to change their lives. We need to live each day as if this is our last. We may not get another opportunity. We may not get another day. It says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Watch, therefore. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, we preach this. The church of Philadelphia. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which is the tribulation period, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth. As much as Jesus is coming again, Jesus' judgment is coming again. And we need to be understanding that. But you know, if we know something's going to happen, if you know you're going to get a visitor, you're going to prepare your house. If you know a bill is coming, you're going to save up for that. If you know all these, if you've got something on the horizon and it's going to be a life-impacting event, you need to plan for that. And we do plan for that. Folks, we're preparing for eternity. We have eternity assured. And we need to be prepared for that. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, we shared this in a message recently. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So the issue is, does this truth change our life? Or are we in the majority that it really doesn't matter? That's a sad and probably the strangest fact in history today. That we don't live in the light of his return. We don't live in the promises of God's word. We don't live in the power of his resurrection. We don't live in these things. So the issue is, if you knew Jesus was coming today, would you change anything? And if you change something, why?
Yeah, come on.
Why? You know, I know in school that when the teacher goes away, everything goes into chaos. The teacher comes back in, everything calms down. Why? Because the teacher came back. If you had the unfortunate thing of being a substitute, you find out that the substitute basically sees a different character of kids than what the teacher sees. Folks, when we leave this church, does the world see a different character of people than what they see in here? Are we living in the light of his return? So this morning I want to share three facts about what will happen if Jesus came back today. However, what we need to pay attention to are the signs. There are signs that make us feel that the coming of the Lord is near. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, Christ is actually talking about the judgment on the Jews. He's talking about the tribulation period. But we can see all these signs happening today. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 through 8, it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." All these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. It's a trigger event to get you thinking this way. Folks, the world event should cause us to think this way. What if Jesus would come back today? Here's some facts that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Israel is now a nation. Ezekiel chapter 37. What are we being seen as someone trying to get back, some country trying to get back on the world stage? Russia. And Russia has got an alliance with Iran. You know what Iran's goal in life is? To destroy Israel. Russia is in the Middle East fighting Al-Qaeda along with other coalition forces with the United States. Why? Because they want to make sure their influence is there. You know, Russia is prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 about coming in and attacking Israel as being the instrument of Satan here. The world is getting ready for the Antichrist. Why can't we have one world economy? We are in one right now. Why can't we have one world government? We're getting closer. Countries are giving up their sovereignty and decisions. And external to your nation, you're being penalized or commended or having to be dealt with for what you're doing to, like, the climate. It's all happening right now. And we know that this is the rise of the Antichrist. And John says there's going to be many Antichrists in the world today. There's signs in nature. You know, think of the famine that's going on in Africa. Think of the earthquake that happened in Turkey. Think of COVID. And I'll tell you what, it seems like people just don't want that to go away. And so here's the whole issue. There's a lot of these signs going on. You know, Lake Tahoe. Now, there's snow falls that you've never seen before. Flooding. Look at here. Just go outside and look at the flooding that's outside. Hadn't seen that in a long time. Now I'm going to say that's the end time. But the issue is there's signs in nature. There's signs in the political sense. There's signs in the economic thing. There's signs even in the religious. Let's all work together. Let's all, because we're all serving one God. No, we're not. No, we're not. You know, Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says, "And when these things began to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Folks, Jesus is coming again. The signs are all around us. So quickly this morning, three things about what, if Jesus come today, what would happen? If Jesus should come today, the Christian dead would be raised. Now, first, we hear in this passage, we see in this passage, there's the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel. And then secondly, the dead in Christ rise up. You know, this passage is used in funerals because the grave to the Christian is not a place of despair. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Christians go to heaven when they die. Christians go to heaven when they die. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "We are confident." Now, he starts out this passage in 1 Thessalonians, "I won't have you be ignorant." But he writes to another church, he says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord." Amen. See, we need to understand that there's another place. Christ has already gone there to prepare a place for us. And look at verse 14 in our passage. In verse 14 it says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them which sleep in Jesus will" what? God bring with him. Some things that we don't necessarily think about is the Lord returns bringing Christians with him to resurrect their bodies. To resurrect their bodies. So the first thing is we need to understand the event. There's the archangel voice. There is the trumpet. The Lord is descending. The first thing that happens is the dead in Christ rise first. The resurrection means a reunion of body, soul, and spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through 54, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can bat your eye, at the last, what? Trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You can't stand before God in flesh and blood. Peter did a poor job of that. We saw that in the children's corner. You can't get in God's way. You can't stop God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The new body will be like the body of Christ. Now, we just went through Easter. We talked about the resurrection. When Christ arose and he was met by Mary, he said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father. When he comes back to the disciples in the upper room that night, he's in a bodily form. On the road to Emmaus, he was eating. You know, you don't have to have a transporter. Now, that idea about transport, God's already got that figured out. He can change you from physical into spiritual and then back to physical again, and they can all exist because he's God. Christ did this. You know, the new body will be like the body of Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Okay, so here's the question. This is our status in heaven right now. We are the sons of God. If we died, we would go with them right now. We have a place reserved there. God's Christ has prepared a place for us. And it doth not yet appear what ye shall be. You can sit here and dream all these things about what's going to happen. But we don't know. We don't need to know. We just have to trust God for it. And it says, but we know that when he shall what? Appear. That's he's coming back. When he returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So if Jesus should come today, the Christian dead would be raised. We see the event, how we know it's happening. We know what is happening, and the grave is not a place of despair. We know that Christians who have died before us are coming back with Christ. And we know that there's a reunion. And we know that the new body will be like the body of Christ. So if Christ can be a spirit and he can be a body, we'll be just like that. So if Jesus would come today, the Christian dead would be raised. If Christians should come today, living Christians would escape death as we know it. As we know it. You know, death has taken its toll through the century. Adam died. Abel died. Methuselah died, the longest living guy on the planet. He still died. Moses died. The one who led victory and led the children out of Egypt. Jacob died. And Joseph died. But they all died. Death is inescapable. Death is inescapable. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, and as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But not all Christians will die as we think of death. We're all not necessarily going to the grave. We're not going to be like Lazarus. We're not going to be like these. Those which are alive and remain will be what? caught up together to be with Jesus. So those living with when Jesus comes will be caught up and changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." Now, some people would say, well, there's a paradox. There's a contradiction. Because Paul writes to the Hebrews, he says, this point a man wants to die. But then he tells the Corinthian church, he says, we shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. There's no contradiction here at all. Our human body cannot exist in heaven as we know it. The moment we start, the moment we're born, we start dying. And as we get closer and closer, more things start dying. Amen? From yesterday. Okay, so the issue is that it's a mystery to us. So the point is, you know, Samson was not strong enough to escape death. Solomon was not wise enough to escape death. Men will still die. But for us, we'll be transformed. And all believers living when Christ comes will be changed. Now, the word for changed here can be translated one of two ways. Transformed or transferred. Okay? When it's used in like Enoch and Elijah, where they were translated, they were transferred from the physical to the spiritual. Okay? But you know something? Their human heart stopped beating. Their human flesh took on a different element. Because flesh and blood cannot see God. So there's another thing. They cease to exist as a human. And so when you think of death as ceasing to exist, they died. When we get raptured, we're not going to get into that. We are a premillennial or pre-tribulational rapture church, which means before the tribulation period starts, we believe that the church will be caught up. And the issue is that your human heart will stop beating. Your human flesh will be what? Transformed. But you will cease to exist as a human. And when you cease to exist, you what? Die. You die. So there is no contradiction here. All believers living when Christ comes will be changed, transformed, or transferred. That is a blessed hope, folks. That is a tremendous hope. So if Jesus should come today, Christians who have died will be what? Raised. If Jesus would come today, we who are alive and remain will be changed. We will cease to exist as a normal human being. The sin nature is gone. We are redeemed. It's all done. And we are united with a new body. If Jesus should come today, some would be ashamed. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says this, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence," and what? "And not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You know, Christ told the parable of the talents. And He gave one guy 10 talents, and He gave one guy 5 talents, and He gave one guy 1. He says, "Occupy till I come. I.e., do the things that I want you to do until I come." And so that first person made 10 more. The second person made 5 more. They got the same commendation. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But the one that only had 1 buried it because he knew he was coming back. And he just wanted to keep what he had. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. It says abiding in Him that we may have what? Confidence. Confidence in our spiritual state. John chapter 12, verse 46 says, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know what? How you'll be ashamed when Christ comes back if you're abiding in darkness today. We are light. We're supposed to be ministers of light. We're supposed to do the right thing. So abiding in Him means we have confidence in our spiritual state. It means we have confidence in our physical state. John chapter 15 verse 5 says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that what? Abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. James says this, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, there's going to be a second way. People are going to be ashamed because they're in places doing things that they shouldn't be doing. People are going to be ashamed because when God comes back, they haven't done anything. They're like the guy that just dug the talent in the dirt and said, I just give it back. I just give it back. God doesn't want us to do that. That we bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. In Matthew chapter 24 verse 46. Blessed is that servant. Won't be ashamed. Whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. The angel when they were looking up in heaven. Watching Jesus ascend. He says, why are you here? Why are you gazing here? You've got everything you need to go out and live for Christ. You got everything you need to go out and preach Christ. You got everything that God's given you for life and godliness. Why are you standing around? Mm-hmm. Folks, if all we do is stand around in our Christianity, we're going to be ashamed when Christ comes back. Because we won't have anything to show for what God has done in our life. See, we need to understand the suddenness of His coming. And my question is this. Will it be at the wrong time? Will it be at the wrong time when you're in a fit of rage? When you're on the computer and you're on a website that you shouldn't be on? When you're in a movie theater watching something you shouldn't be watching? When you're filling your mind with junk instead of setting your affection on things of above? When you're passing that bit of gossip because everybody wants to know what's going on in other people's lives? It says, behold, I come quickly. In Revelation chapter 3, Christ tells the church at Ephesus. He commends the church for looking good on the outside and doing good works. But he says, you've lost your first love. You've lost the priority of your life. You've lost the perspective. Folks, the perspective that we need to have is we need to have the perspective of how much it cost Christ for our salvation. We need to have the perspective of He's coming back and we need to be ready for it. We need to do what He said that we're supposed to do, not abide in darkness, and do spiritual fruit. So he tells the church at Ephesus, he says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you, and you will be ashamed. And we'll have to answer for that. Oh, folks, this morning, what we need to understand is that the return of Christ is a blessed hope and is also a sobering event. What we talked about is a solemn truth. It gives us hope for passing into eternity. It gives us hope for all those who have gone before us in death. It gives us hope for if we die, we'll be with Jesus. If we're alive when He comes, we'll be with Jesus. And we'll all be the same. Are you willing to let the truth of Christ's return change your life? Change your life. There's been a lot of distractions this morning. But let's not be distracted off the same. Jesus is coming back.
Yes, He
is. Are you ready for Him? To be ready for Him, you need to be saved.
Amen.
To be ready for Him, you need to be working.
Yes.
Are you willing to do that? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to hear Your Word. Father, I just ask, just help us, Lord, in this time of invitation, to decide to follow You. Lord, keep on doing what we're doing. Lord, search our hearts, Lord. See if there's any darkness. See if there's no fruit. And help us, Lord, just to follow You and deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow You. Lord, we thank You and we ask that You have full reign now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.